Well, good morning
and welcome, Rockdale, this morning. I think I say this every time that I preach, but it's good to be together. And I mean it every time we preach, every time I preach, because as the body of Christ, one of the blessings we have is coming together on, you know, routinely throughout the week, every Sunday. And so it's good to be here. Welcome to each of you who is here this morning. One of the privileges we have as the body is that when somebody goes out from us, we have the privilege to pray for them and to encourage them and to bless them. And as many of you know, Pastor Tom and his family are in Alaska on about a week-long trip with Make-A-Wish. So this morning, we just have a unique opportunity to bless them in that. So before I start this morning, I just want to have a prayer of blessing for them and for their family. Lord, we lift up the Eshman family. As they are traveling across Alaska, God, I pray that this would be a meaningful time for their family, that they'd be encouraged, that they'd be blessed, they'd be uplifted. God, I pray that you would be with them, that they'd be able to sense your presence as they receive this blessing and this trip. God, I pray that they would be refreshed and that this trip would be a meaningful time for them. We just extend your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I grew up listening to Adventures in Odyssey. Does anybody know what Adventures in Odyssey is? All right, a lot of people. Great. So, every weekday night, we would listen to Adventures in Odyssey, WDAC, from 6:30 to 7. It was great. We'd be finishing up supper, we'd be listening to the story, and it was a real problem in our household when we had something that conflicted with when the Adventures in Odyssey story was on. I don't get to listen as much now as I used to, but for those of you who don't know, Adventures in Odyssey is a children's radio broadcast. It's by Focused on the Family. It's a Christian program. They have this fictitious town of Odyssey in which there's a bunch of characters and events and things going on, and everything kind of has a biblical narrative to it or biblical moral to it. So great program. I encourage you to check it out if you're not familiar with it. Anyways, so I don't get to listen to it as much as I used to, but every once in a while I'll be driving or I'll be at home and I'll turn the radio on and I'll come across Adventures in Odyssey, and I really enjoy it. It's kind of reminiscent for me. And a few weeks ago I heard an Adventures in Odyssey story, and in this story Camilla Parker, one of the young children, needed to learn a lesson. And so there's a character in the story named Red Hollard who told a parable of sorts, a story, to help Camilla learn a lesson. And this was his story. Red said he had a friend named Barney. And Barney had a tow business. And so he needed to buy a new tow truck. But he didn't have the money to buy a new tow truck. And so he went to the mayor of the town, who was a friend of his, and asked for a loan for money so he could go buy this new tow truck. And the mayor, since he was Barney's friend, gave him this big loan so he could buy this big, new, shiny tow truck. And so Barney had this big tow truck, but he also had this big debt to the mayor. But he figured he could work with his tow truck and pay off the debt. And then one day, Barney wrecked his truck. And so he couldn't pay the mayor back. And so Barney doesn't have the money. And the mayor says, look, you can work for me for the rest of your life, and I'll just kind of take your income, and we'll put that towards paying off this big debt that you have for this loan that I gave you to buy the tow truck. And Barney realizes that even if he works for his entire life and gives all of his income over to the mayor, he's never going to be able to pay off the debt for this tow truck. And so the mayor has mercy on Barney and shows him forgiveness and cancels the whole debt. Says, Barney, you don't need to work for me. You don't need to pay off this debt. It's canceled. Forget about it. You don't need to pay me back. So Barney goes, this is great. So Barney leaves. He's walking home. And as he's walking home, he thinks about somebody who owes him some money. Maybe it's somebody who he towed one of their vehicles back when he had the tow truck, and they never paid him. So he goes and finds this guy and says, hey, you need to pay me because you owe me and you never paid up. And the man doesn't have the money, and he pleads. Barney says, Barney, you know, just give me some more time. And Barney says, no, no more time for you. And he has this man arrested and thrown in prison. And then Barney begins to think about more people who owe him money or who he lent something and never got it back. And he starts going around the whole town, finding all these people who owe him these little debts and demanding that they pay. And they don't have the money to pay, and so he has them arrested and thrown in jail, and soon the jail is filling up. And the mayor finds out about this, and the mayor finds out that Barney is the reason that the jail is filling up. And so the mayor goes and finds Barney, and he goes, "Barney, come on, you had this huge debt for this tow truck, and I forgave this debt, and yet you can't forgive these other people who have small debts against you?" And so the mayor had Barney thrown in prison, and that was the last anyone heard of Barney. So that's the story that Red Hollard tells to Camilla in this Adventures in Odyssey episode that I had listened to recently. And you may recognize it as similar to a parable that Jesus told in Matthew 18. Before I go any farther, I just remembered I have little half sheet handouts for this morning. And I have some people to hand those, handouts. It is a nice, easy way for you to kind of keep track of where we're going, keep some notes. I have some fill in the blanks. I know not everyone learns this way, but if you're somebody who would appreciate this, feel free to take one. It's a simple way to just kind of follow along with the sermon. I don't always do this, but I figured this morning I would. So if you need one, there are people coming around handing those out. And if you get missed, just raise your hand, and one of them will come back and get you one of those papers. So the story that Red Hollard told to Camilla was a story that is similar to and very much resembles a parable that Jesus told in Matthew 18. And I'm going to read through that parable. I'm going to use a different version of the Bible than I normally use, so it may be a little hard to follow along in your own Bible, but feel free to just listen to this parable that Jesus told in Matthew 18. Jesus says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the accounting, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But because he could not repay, the master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed, and the payment be made. So the slave fell on his knees and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me. I'll repay you everything.' And the master's heart was moved with compassion, and he released him, and he forgave him, canceling the debt. But then that same slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began choking him, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell on his knees and begged him earnestly, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was unwilling, and he went and had him thrown in prison until he could pay back the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and went and reported to their master with clarity and in detail everything that had taken place. Then his master called him and said to him, 'You wicked and contemptible servant, I forgave the great debt of yours because you begged me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave who owed you little by comparison, as I have had mercy on you?' And in his wrath, the master turned him over to the jailers until he paid all that he owed." The story in Matthew 18 is a story about forgiveness. And forgiveness is a theme that runs throughout the scripture. Forgiveness is the main message of the gospel. Forgiveness is what Jesus did for us through his life, death, and resurrection. But forgiveness also runs as a theme throughout the Bible because it is a command, an encouragement for us as Christians. The Apostle Paul, in his letters to the Ephesians and the Colossians, in his letter to the Colossians, he says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And then later in Ephesians, he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." In these verses, as well as the story that Jesus told, as well as throughout the Gospels, there's a connection between our forgiveness to one another and the forgiveness we've received from God. We forgive in response to the forgiveness we have received from God. There's a connection between these two. The forgiveness that we are commanded to give to one another and the forgiveness that we have received from God. We forgive because of the forgiveness we've received from God. And it would be illogical to separate the two from one another. It would be illogical to separate the forgiveness we've received from God from the command to forgive one another. In Matthew 18, we have this story. And it almost is like a play with Act 1 and Act 2. In Act 1, you have the king who is forgiving of the servant or the slave. And in Act 2, you have that servant who goes out and is then unforgiving to his fellow servants. And then you have the conclusion after that. But if we would just start at the beginning of Act 2, we would find a guy who's just minding his own business, walking down the street. Let's call him Dan. Dan's walking down the street. I don't know what he's thinking about. But as he sees his friend Bill coming towards him, he starts thinking about the debt that Bill owes him. And he starts thinking about, you know, I loaned that money to Bill and he never paid me back. And, you know, I have some bills to pay. I have some things I could invest in. I could take my family on a nice vacation. I should get this debt back from my friend Bill. And in the parable, it says that the fellow servant owed him 100 denarii. In today's terms, that's about $9,000. So it wasn't just 20 bucks that his friend owed him. There's a significant debt that Bill has to Dan. And Dan says, I'm going to get my money back. So Dan approaches Bill and confronts him and says, Bill, I need my money. Bill says, I can't do it. I need some more time. Can you please give me some more time? He says, I need my money. He says, I can't pay. I don't have it. I got a family. The money's a little tight. And so Dan says, forget it. He gets a little aggressive and tries to get his money back. And if we would just see that part of the story separate from Act 1, so to say, we wouldn't see Dan as the one at fault. We wouldn't expect him to forgive a debt and just cancel a debt of $9,000. I don't know about you, but to me that seems like a lot of money. It's only once we consider the first part of the story that we become outraged and concerned at this servant's behavior. In the parable, it says that the king forgave the servant 10,000 talents. In today's terms, it would be $5.4 billion. Once you consider what he had been forgiven, it seems a little crazy that he would ask for a measly $9,000. So this debt of $5.4 million is this unimaginable, unpayable debt. There's only a few people in the world who, if they had that debt right now, they'd be able to pay that off. I don't know about you, I would not be able to pay that off. There's only a small amount of people who would ever be able to pay off that debt. However, there is no one who would be able to repay the debt of their sinfulness. No one. We all have an unpayable debt. We've all sinned against God, and we all deserve to be separated from Him for eternity. There is an infinite separation between us and God. Because of our sin, we've been separated an infinite amount. When I was in calculus in high school, in my calculus class, we studied infinite numbers, which just sounds crazy to start with. But one of the things we learned was that if you have an infinite number and you add a finite, a determined number to it, it doesn't increase the number or the value. That if we have all been infinitely separated from God, and some of us have been separated by what we feel like is a little sin, and some of us have been separated by what we feel like is a lot of sin, we're all at the same separation from God. We all have an unpayable debt because of our sinfulness. And none of us, no matter how hard we worked, no matter how little we feel we've sinned, would be able to work enough to pay off that debt. None of us can pay that debt. And yet, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we experience forgiveness of all of our sins. All of our sins are gone. The debt has been paid. Where the ledger used to have an insurmountable, crazy debt, it now says paid in full. That the great infinite separation between us and God because of our sins has been broken down and Christ has drawn us to himself. Isn't that amazing? If you think about how much joy you would have, how much weight would be lifted off your shoulders if somebody canceled a debt of $5.4 million, I think I'd be pretty happy. But even greater than that is the debt of sin that Christ has canceled for us on the cross. So, in this parable, the servant is expected to be forgiving to his fellow servant because of the forgiveness he has experienced. The two go hand in hand. You can't separate the forgiveness we've received from the forgiveness we're commanded to offer to one another. We have freely received this forgiveness, therefore we can freely give. When we choose not to forget someone else's debt to us, we blatantly ignore and completely diminish the insurmountable debt that we have against God. When we choose not to forgive, we're ignoring and diminishing the forgiveness that we've received from God. We're ignoring and diminishing what Christ has done on the cross for us. And as Christians, when we choose not to forgive, we are elevating the hurt and pain that somebody else has caused us above the hurt, pain, and sorrow that we have caused God. On the contrary, when we choose to forgive, we're declaring that what Jesus did on the cross is bigger than what that person did to me. We're saying that what Jesus did in his action of death and forgiveness on the cross is bigger than what they can do to me. Now, it's nice to say in theory. It's nice to say hypothetically. But when we get into real situations, forgiveness is hard. There's pain. There's hurt. We've been wronged. Forgiveness isn't saying that it doesn't hurt. Forgiveness isn't saying that they weren't wrong. Forgiveness isn't letting them off the hook. Forgiveness is saying that what Jesus did on the cross for me is bigger than what that person did to me. So when we're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off, instead of getting mad and angry and bitter, we say, I once cut off God. I was cut off from God, and yet he restored and forgave me. Therefore, I can be forgiven this driver. God, forgive them for being a terrible driver. When a family member or a friend alienates themselves from you or becomes hostile towards you, we can say, I was alienated from God. I was hostile to the one who created me, and yet he forgave me. Therefore, I can forgive this person for what they've done. When somebody at work, or maybe even in the church or in your community, seems to be your enemy, and every time you interact with them, there's this tension and this conflict, we can say, because I was an enemy of God, and he forgave me, I can forgive them. No matter what someone does to us, no matter what someone does to you, it is never a greater wrong than what we've already been forgiven in Christ. The debt that the king forgave the servant is so much greater than the debt that the servant was unwilling to forgive his fellow servant. The debt that we've been forgiven is so much greater than the debt that anyone would have against us. And it's because we understand how much we've been forgiven that we can therefore walk in obedience to God and be forgiving to one another. Even these big sins as we think of them. Murder. Somebody murders somebody who's close to you. Even adultery or abuse. There's nothing that someone can do to you that would require more forgiveness than what God has already given you. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying you're always going to feel like it. I don't want to downplay forgiveness to one another. It can be hard, but we need to recognize that the forgiveness that we have received from Christ is so much bigger than the forgiveness that anyone could ask for us. The bottom line is this. In order to walk in obedience to God by extending forgiveness to others, it is imperative that we understand the depths of God's forgiveness to us. In order to walk in obedience to God in extending forgiveness to others, We have to understand the amount which God has forgiven us. Without that understanding, the encouragement to forgive isn't really there. There's no basis or foundation for our forgiveness to one another. The basis for our forgiveness to one another is the fact that we have been forgiven. So, next week, I'm preaching again. I kicked Tom off the preaching schedule twice in a row. And we're going to continue talking about forgiveness. But this morning, I wanted to lay this groundwork that forgiveness is saying that what Jesus did on the cross is bigger than what that person did to me. That the framework, the foundation for forgiveness, for this command to forgive one another, is in the fact that we have been forgiven by Christ. So, next week we're going to continue talking about forgiveness. I already have some ideas. I'm pretty excited about what the Lord's been showing me. But this morning, it's the fact that Christ has forgiven us so much. And that's the foundation for us to forgive one another. And so, throughout this week, ask God to show you more and more the depths of His forgiveness toward you. Because it's when we understand that we can be freed to extend forgiveness to one another. It's all about what Jesus did. It's all about Him. He is the one that sets the groundwork. He's the one that lays the foundation. It's because of His forgiveness towards us that we can be forgiving towards one another.